Hey, Gene.
June 8, 2015, Dakota County Board of Corrections, Commissioners, and Board of Equalization meeting at 3 o'clock, 3:01, and 3:02.
Call the Board of Correction meeting in order. Would you please join the Pledge of Allegiance?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Tony?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Okay. Attorney copy of the Open Meeting Act is posted on the west wall near to the entrance of the County Board Meeting Room and is available for review by all citizens in attendance. Consent agenda item. Approval of previous minutes from meeting May 11, 2015.
Yeah, I'll second it.
Moved by Commissioner McNair, seconded by Scott Law. Call roll, please.
Scott?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes. Motion carried. New business. Terry Kern, Director of the Correction, Jail Report.
So the month of May, we had 103 in-house inmates, 95 of which were county. For the calendar year, we continue to average about 92, which 84 are county. And for the fiscal year, which will soon end, our average has been 96 overall and 87 for county. Our federal income for May, the May Marshals, $15,334. For the fiscal year, it's $194,466. For May, ICE was 906. For the fiscal, it's $10,238. BIA for May was 463. For the fiscal, it's 3,850. Total for May, federal, 16,704. Fiscal federal, 208,554. In our calendar, federal is 75,926.80. And the average daily average cost was $68 per inmate in the month of May. We were 4% over, or $8,854 for May. We anticipated that because of three pay periods. But we're still 4% under, $102,000 for the fiscal year. And the fiscal year will end this month.
So any big expenses to your recollection coming up or not?
We get a water here. I don't think there's anything other than a water heater coming out of this time around. And we only have two pay periods. Total bookings for May were 97, and they broke down just about the way they have all year long. So we'll have the next time around the report for not only the month of June, but for our fiscal year for income and what have you for fiscal.
I've never seen the homeless that many. These days, one.
We have several homeless.
Any questions for Terry?
We managed to pick up four employees of the construction over at the fertilizer plant.
Oh, did you already?
Yeah.
That's only going to get here.
So that's probably going to be a little large.
But what's down there? A couple thousand, I suppose. Huh?
Somewhere around there, I imagine.
Yeah, that's got to be getting big.
We ran into four that decided to drink over here and drive. And
why would they want to come over here? Stay over Sioux City, right?
The destination spot.
Over there.
Spent all that money on tourism, and then he came over and took advantage of it.
So you got, I see that you got an ad in for correctional officers.
I'm going to lose. I'm still up to speed on staff for right now, but we're going to lose two pretty quick. We're going to leave to become police officers. Then we're going to have to be able to move fairly quickly to fill that spot or pay a bunch of money on overtime. So if we put the list in place, have it in place, when they leave, we can just move. Like a seamless entry. We're not paying all the bucks out trying to cover people's jobs.
Okay.
You'll be okay, didn't you? Yeah.
I hope so.
Yeah. You can handle it. Any more questions for Terry?
How many inquiries have you had yet?
I got one phone call this afternoon. It's sort of fairly self-explanatory, I thought. And we have a website they can go to download their applications. They don't come down to get it. So they can download them, fill them out, and mail them in.
Okay. Well, thank you, Terry. Nice
you
report.
Thank you, Terry.
Thank you very much. Correction committee reports. Mail on emergency business. I don't think there's any. Public comments on the Board of Corrections. Anybody from the public want to make any comments? If it isn't, we're adjourned. Turn it over to Commissioner Busquet for the Board of Equalization.
Call to order the Board of Equalization. There's a copy of the Open Meeting Act that's posted near the entrance of the door. Sheree, would you call roll, please?
Rick?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
And the approval of the March 16, 2015 minutes.
I can't remember that long ago. Otherwise, I'd make that motion. So moved on the minutes.
Seconded.
We got a motion by Scott Levin, a second by Tony Gomez. Call roll, please.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes. Jeff Curry, County Assessor, to update the board on the Obate Apostles of the Two Hearts tax exempt application.
Thank you, Commissioner Busquet. So, Obate Apostles is one in our last meeting we talked about. We decided to give it more time. They had a few people come in and speak on their behalf. We have, and I know they've taken the first step to actually refinance the property and get it out of the private owner's name and put it in theirs. So the banker actually sent me a letter, so I put that in the file so we have it. But I'm going to ask that we give them just a little bit more time to close that deal. Because once they do, then they'll submit a new deed. It'll become a registered document, and then we can put Obate Apostles as the owners on it. And then that satisfies everything from the requirement standpoint.
Okay. And then they would get the tax-exempt status.
They would get it, yep. Then we could say yes to it, not worry about anything else.
Okay.
So I would add, June 30th is probably going to be our deadline. So I think they should have everything wrapped up by then. So we might have to have another meeting, which I think maybe further in the agenda. We're going to talk about another meeting anyway, possibly.
Yeah, we'll meet the 22nd.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That'll meet the deadline then.
So, yeah, I should be ready by then for them.
Any other discussion on the giving them more time?
They've been in here before, haven't they?
Yeah, yeah. I believe they had a couple of people speak in the last meeting.
Right.
Alma Salicito was one.
Right.
And
yeah, those are the people that were clapping?
No, that was the one in South Sioux.
No, there was the realtor, Alma Salicito, and who's the other one?
I think it was the young, she had a young priest in here too with her, didn't she?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And
yeah.
I forgot which one.
This was the one that they did get the exam,
right.
But they were from South Sioux City and they were starting a new church.
Okay.
Yeah. That's a Hispana Bautista. Yeah.
Well, I need a motion to give these people more time. Yeah, until June 30th.
I'll second.
Moved by Bill Rohde and second by Dick McNair. Call roll, please, Sheree.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes. Okay, Jeff, assessor to present the board with a tax exempt 451 for Secular Institute to the Two Hearts. Well, that's kind of, we're going to give them until the 30th, so that's kind of, that's the same one, ain't it?
I've kind of been treated about that. It's similar, but it is a different organization. And this one here is a 451, and I believe, we should have the original here with us for signature. And on this one here, the assessor's office did do the review work on it, and our recommendation is they do qualify.
They did?
Yeah, they do. I think, yeah, maybe we went over, but we do.
Oh, okay, they did.
Well, we got to do all three, so this is...
We've got, Jeff, we also have the Boys and Girls Home of Nebraska tax application, too.
Yeah, okay. So on that one, for the Boys and Girls Home, it's pretty similar to the Oblate Apostles, and they had an ownership situation. And at the last meeting, we had not been able to speak with anybody from the organization, so the board gave them some more time. Since then, we have been in touch with them. They've actually went out and hired a title company. It's their opinion that they've actually already satisfied the contract, It's just not registered. So I had a meeting with Lewis and Clark Title last week. Misty was in, and they're still reviewing it. So they're going to, we'll probably have to, I was hoping to see if the board would give us more time on that one, too, to make our decision in the next meeting. Mm-hmm. To let Lewis and Clark Title finish the title search. And they're either going to have it satisfied or we're going to recommend no on that one. I will recommend no on that one. The board will have to handle any of the appeals or anything against it.
That's your recommendation, huh?
On that one, yeah. We just can't. On the ownership part, that's the big one. The state's coming down. The state's actually going to be in here in July. They're going to audit the whole stack. So this one was pointed out to us. They had been receiving it in the past.
You want to give them until the 30th of June also?
Yeah, if we could. I'd give them just a little bit more time. Maybe we can get something done and get it corrected. It takes a little, there's a bunch of deeds on it. I know Lewis and Clark said I met with them, they're working on it. But so far, the last information we have, it still shows it's the contract's not satisfied.
What's the board want to do?
So we need a motion to extend it to the...
Extend the boys and girls home.
So moved that.
And do you want to do the two hearts or the 451 also? Do you want to extend it also?
That one, I think the board can take action on that today. The assessor's office recommendation is to approve that one. They did get a new, we had worked with the private seller, worked with those people, and they rearranged their contract. They did submit and register a new deed, and they are actually listed as the owners of the property with the full suite of ownership rights.
Okay.
So they qualify to be exempt.
So the boys and girls home, there's no action on that one, correct?
Nope.
You're going to make that?
We'll call that one in the next meeting.
Right.
So we don't need to take action on that.
No.
Let's take action on this 451 for the two hearts.
I'm confused with
it. Yeah, there's two hearts.
So that boys and girls, no action to be taken, right?
Mm-hmm. No.
So you need a motion for the 451?
I need a motion for the 451 to approve the two hearts, South Sioux City, Section 77202.012.
You just said it. It's all moved.
Got a motion by Gomez.
I'll second that.
A second by Dick McNair. Want to call roll, please?
Bill?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Okay, Jeff, discuss if the board desires to use certified appraisers as referees and, if so, appoint a referee to review property valuation protests.
Yeah, we are at that time of year again. The phones are ringing off the hook. But I wanted just to run the board because we've had in the past, we've used Lyle Todd and Helvig Appraisal. We have now under contract Tax Valuation, Inc. They're the ones coming in doing our commercial reappraisal. And when we did that contract, we put into that contract that they would also help us with all protests and they would help us with TURC hearings. So in that contract, we had them, and they said they would take it on. So it's, I can't actually, the board has to appoint them. Based on recommendations, any of those same people we've used or this new group would be good. I would lean towards Tax Valuation simply because of the experience they have. Joe Wilson has done this in Lancaster, Douglas County for over 30 years now, just strictly protest hearings for those guys. They've always contracted out and hired referees. And Ron Elliott, the other gentleman that would do it, they'd be the two that would handle it for us is... He's right behind you, pretty close in the same number of years.
Mm-hmm. So refresh my memory, what are we paying those guys an hour?
They are, in our contract, $75.
And so the same that we would be doing?
Same thing we have been paying the last 2 years, and they would do it for that.
So it's towards the pleasure. You want to stay with Helvig and Lyle Todd? Or?
And how many guys you got, three?
There'll be two of them doing it. The other ones are going to stay in the field to meet to keep us up with the commercial reappraisal. So we'll have two guys that'll do it. We have a calendar of activity here. But they'll do it from 8 to 5, and then they'll they'll do after 5, too. I think till 8 o'clock, I believe, is what it is, from like 6 to 8, 2 hours after, if we need to. As a contingency, with the 8,800 COVs that went out, we're just trying to have as many contingencies in place as we can for hearings.
What's your recommendation, I mean?
Mine would be to use the company we just hired.
Okay, what happens when we, you know, they're going to be gone in 3 years or 4 years, or mm-hmm. once they're done doing all this evaluation, and then
mm-hmm. what we do is, what I'm planning on doing, it's still 3 years down the road, but is maintaining that contract and work rolling it over to a maintenance contract, to where they still will come in and do the building permits, the pickup work, just for, and handle commercial property for us, to make sure our file doesn't get behind.
Are they local?
No. We got Omaha, Lincoln, and Falls City.
That's where they're out of?
Mm-hmm. Well, they've got appraisers out of kind of everywhere, but those, the three appraisers we're using are from those three areas.
I kind of like to stay local myself. You know, Lyle Todd and Helvig is right across the river over here, and he's accustomed to this area and land values, and Lyle is also on the values and housing and so have you in this area. But it's up to the board.
And there's a benefit to having home field people too. The only difference is the process is going to be a little different this year. I've kind of worked it out. Ted's not here right now, but with the clerk's office. In the past, the assessor sits in there, kind of runs the meeting. And by statute, that's probably taboo. We're not going to be doing that. I'm not going to attend any hearings. The assessor's office is already done. We've set our values, so we need to back out of it. They need to hear a referee. I know, working with Kim's office and Tyler and kind of looking at things over, the referee reports are going to be changed now. They're going to be more detailed. They have to go to you guys on a more regular basis. We spend a little over 4 hours at a Turk hearing with somebody and try to defend why we heard over 140 protests in 20 minutes. And Tyler did a pretty good job of getting us out of it. But we still haven't got a ruling on that yet. So I think to protect us, we're gonna be doing things just a little bit different. And as long as those guys are willing to fill out the forms like they're supposed to, follow the same process, come in when they're scheduled, I'm good. I worked with both of them last year, and they do a good job. Lyle doesn't have an appraiser's license, but he's a broker, and he sold houses. I mean, two of the protests last year were houses he's owned and sold. So I mean, that's what home field advantage gives you.
Helvig does your ag values, right?
And Doug does the ag, yep. And Lyle does everything else.
So this other firm, are they experts in the ag field, do you feel?
Yes. Ron Elliott is, that's his area of expertise. And Joe Wilson is area expertise is commercial.
What would be wrong with using, if we approved them all, would you be able to get through them in a better way? I guess, wouldn't you?
We could. Yeah, I would think so, because what we would look at doing this year, before we just do one hearing at a time in
right.
the room, we're going to split the room and try to get two people at the same time and run them through. The only difference would be the clerk's office. Right now, with the experience the guys from tax valuation give us in doing these things, it doesn't matter if it's residential, ag, or commercial. I mean, Joe Wilson was the president of the NRPAB for years and on the board forever. I mean, he's got every certification you can have to be an appraiser. So we weren't worried about separating commercial from ag to residential. We could just throw it in a box with people who are certified general appraisers, and they can just pull them out and go in order, which speeds up the process for the clerk's office. So the only thing we would do is we would just have to add a step then, because now everything is in a sealed envelope. The assessor's office, like I said, is pretty much out of it. We provide the property record card. And our referees will come in, go to the clerk's office, grab their box of hearings for that day, and come in and just pull them out, grab them one at a time, and go through them. I think what we would do is the same thing. That's the right way to do it. We'll just maybe have a box for ag, a box for commercial, a box for residential, and switch it up and use it and just capture one more space. if we could schedule it somewhere. Maybe downstairs, I don't know, in the old boardroom, potentially. It'd be a little more routing people around, just another step for the clerk's office, but that'd be more bodies, too, from a contingency standpoint.
Okay, what's the new company's name? Who are they again? Who's doing
Tax Valuation Inc. is okay. Their name. It's a new name. It's two different companies that merged together.
And I would think that since they are here now doing the commercial, that they should stick with the commercial, I would think. Does that make sense or not?
Sure. I mean, they can do anything, though. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, because we have a three-year timeline on that.
I would just think if they're going to be here for the next 3 years, and I don't know if they've gotten any done or not yet, or it won't show up yet, but I just think that they should be maybe involved in the commercial, because you know the commercial is going to get hit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I would feel...
They're the ones going to be doing the hitting.
Yeah, I would, at this, from a commercial's perspective, and giving Lyle all the credit in the world, because he knows a lot, there's probably only two guys, maybe one in the state, better than Joe. I mean, he's the guy everybody calls when they get called to a Turk case. That's the guy they go to. It's either him, Wayne Kubert, or Wayne's son, Tom. Those are the top three guys we have.
Why don't we use them for commercial and use Helvig and Todd for residential and ag? I'd like Rick. I do like the local.
It's good to have home field.
Yeah, it is. You know, they know the farm values and probably home values better than anybody. Except you.
You want to make that motion?
Have you checked with them to see if they're available?
Yeah, we still would need to check. I really haven't. The only one I've even mentioned it to that I would talk to you guys about was to the tax valuation guys, because I had to make a calendar. But they've done it. I'm sure they would be available. I'll make, if the board wants me to, I can reach out to both those guys for you.
So we do both of those, both appraisals companies, or the certified?
We'll
use them for commercial. And Lyle Todd for
residential.
At a compensation rate of $75 an hour.
Yeah, I'll let them know. I think that's what they've been charging us, so. And that's what the other...
I think that makes sense. We haven't had good history down at Kirk with the commercial properties, have we? This way,
this helps us for commercial. I think it's in our best... My recommendation for commercial is we definitely need to hire somebody that has a CG license.
I would make that motion.
Do you want to make it, like Cherie said, with contingency, that there's the other... That tax, that they are able to do that? Huh?
Todd and Helvig have not been
contacted. That's right.
Okay.
My suggestion was just a suggestion that you make your motion that if Helvig and Lyle Todd are not available, that this company can step in and then do the residential.
I'd include that in my motion.
Because if they're not available, we need to have
a hearing. I'm sure they're figuring out if it's or not.
Yeah.
That'd be a backup plan. Yeah, that'd be part of my motion.
I'll second it. Want to call the roll, please?
Tony?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Discuss dates for the Board of Equalization to meet in June and July 2015 to discuss and approve protests.
Here, June. These are the dates on the calendar right now for hearings. So you guys have a calendar to look at, maybe? And you can kind of see when we are going to be bringing people in. The key day we got to remember is we have to be done, or the board has to have their final decision on the final protest roster no later than July 24th. We started developing these calendars based on being done July 20th, just to give us a little, you know, that trying to build a cushion.
Do we want to do this all at one time, or do we need to do it at two different?
My recommendation... And that's all it would be. I would have more than one meeting. I think it, just after sitting in Lincoln, I think it would make more sense. Because all three had a problem with that, of the tax commissioners. Or Equalization and Review Commission. Two of the lawyers and one appraiser had a problem with it.
A lot of titles, ain't there?
Yeah, I can't remember them all. They all have one. And there's more of them than there are us. So it'd be good to have like an update. I mean, halfway through, maybe get the first chunk out of the way. And
get a feel for how things are going.
And seeing where we're at.
So you want to do like the 6th? July 6th?
That would...
That's for the first one? Does that make sense?
That would make sense.
And then... the next one would have to be the 20th.
And then the 20th. Mm-hmm. I would think by July 6th we'll have a much better idea. I mean, right now all we can do is guess on the number. I think last year we sent out 2,400 change evaluation notices, and the people who actually protested, it's running about 5%. And this year we're sending out 8,800 and almost 800, I mean 8,800 of them. If you do 5% again, we're looking closer. We had 141 of 2,400. We're looking at probably 500, pretty close to 500 if we keep with that 5%. So that's five times the amount of work as last year, if it goes that way. So
is that a motion, Scott?
Goes yeah, I'll make that motion for those for the 6th and the 20th
of July. Second. We got a motion by Scott Love and a second by Bill Rohde. I'll call roll three for setting those dates.
6 and 20.
Scott?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Dick?
Yeah.
Bill?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Discuss and take action on approving commercial appraisers to represent the county at TURC hearings on the larger corporations. I think that company that you've got hired to come in here.
It's in their contract if that's what we want to do. And the way we do it, I don't know what makes sense to the board, but we have some hearings that are coming up. I think it's Hy-Vee and Richardson Milling gave up. I don't remember. It's another one of our bigger ones. Oh, Liberty Place, the one that we had. The city was trying to intervene.
Behind the cop shop, behind the LEC shop?
Yeah. And I know Wayne Boyd wanted to get involved because it's in a TIF, and it's they had a contract with them with a certain value set on it, even though it's not their, they shouldn't be setting values. But I believe the TURC has ruled on that and had told him no. So we lost that attorney. We were hoping to have him go too. Especially with that contract, because they're asking for a value that's lower than what they agreed to with the city.
I was thinking the Hy-Vee went away as well, but obviously not.
It's either Hy-Vee or Walmart. One of them did, and one of them stayed. I have to go double check which one. It's one of those two. It's out in that area. So what? I don't know if it makes more sense. We'll review it, and then I think they're both scheduled for the middle of August, so we have time to review it, and then. If it looks like it's something that we need their attention to, then maybe come back to the board and ask for your approval to do it.
Why don't we just do that?
Or do you guys want to do it just for the big stuff? We really don't have a lot of big commercial, because there's probably only going to be four or five big ones we're really going to have to deal with.
I see.
And only, I think, two of those are for sure TURC cases.
What's the board want to do there?
I think with that Liberty and that TIF and South Sioux and this and that, I think you're probably going to need
those commercial appraisers.
I do.
Yeah.
I do.
I'll
make that a motion, yeah, to approve these commercial appraisers to represent the TURC hearings.
Got a motion by Scott Love and a second by Tony Gomez to use the commercial appraisers.
Rick?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks, guys.
Any mail or emergency business? Any public comment? Okay, I'm going to turn it back to Chairman Gomez.
Thank you, Rick. Now, we're going to go back to the regular Board of Commissioner meeting. A green copy of the Open Meeting Act posted on the west wall near to the entrance of the county board meeting and is available for review by all citizens in attendance. Call roll, please.
Tony?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Motion carried. Consent agenda items. Approval of the previous minutes, May 26, 2015. Approval of the payroll claims and approval of the accounts payable claims. I went through everything since normal and no issues. So we need a motion to approve the consent agenda item.
So moved.
I'll second it.
Moved by Commissioner Nardi and by Commissioner Busquet. Call roll, please.
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes. New business under item A, discuss and take action regarding the second exit road to build for the residents of the Millis Beach area.
Tony, on the Millis Beach area, we're working on it, and right now it is too early to make any decisions on routes because we're trying to put together routes that won't impact anybody, and until we get that portion of it done, Fred and I are working with the railroad and trying to get us some crossings, and we really can't take any action or anything. And then once we get that exhausted and we get denial on that approach, then we can go and move on into the next phase, talking to landowners to see if they want to sell property and then move on from there. But right now, there's really no action we can take on the Millis Beach area.
We hired an engineer for...
We hired Olson Associates to go to do some engineering. We've contacted the railroad. There are several entities in the railroad. There's the right-of-way agent, and then there's also another arm of the railroad that takes care of their properties.
Okay.
So we have to get a hold of both of those to get permission to use the right-of-way, and then we got to talk to the people that manage the land along the railroad tracks.
Yeah.
So once we get with all those and get decisions made from them, and then we've got to go to the state with a plan to exit onto Highway 77, and if they approve that, then we'll use the railroad right away, and we'll exit on Highway 77.
Okay.
If we get denial there, then we'll have to move on to Plan B. But right now, it's just a little bit early. And it's going to take time. Something's going to take, it could take up to 6 months to get all this done.
Well,
it's not something you can snap your fingers and have it gone through. And we're trying to, what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to do an approach where we don't have to cross anybody's property, crop ground, or whatever. Try to exhaust all that before we have to go and do anything else.
Trying to find the best way to get it done before you take any land away, anything like that.
Well, and you know, there's the eminent domain deal, and I want that to be the last resort.
Sure, sure, sure.
Fred and I was out there today looking around for an hour or so, but I know I called CJ at Cargill and just entertain the option of going down along the north side of their right-of-way. There's trees down along there. It's a mile from G to F, and of course he said that he would contact his corporate office, and he knows it's an issue out there. And he's, and like he said, you know, we're not the railroad, but I know it's part of the reason why they're here and why they're stopped. But anyways, he's going to email me and let me know on that option as well. If it's,
and then Bob Hood owns property that goes to F, right?
Uh-huh.
And, you know, maybe we could buy some property from him and use along Cargill.
Well, I think the land, if I'm not mistaken, if somebody can correct me, but it goes, you got Cargill that runs all the way to F Avenue, from G to F, and then it's Dave Jenkins, and I do believe Larry's involved in there where his building is, and then it goes to Bob from there. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Does that look fair, Larry? Yeah. I just didn't know, you know, Fred and I was, you know, we're looking at it, and we know that the little bit of information we got back from Spolson today, you know, was stating, like Rick said, you know, come along the railroad tracks, and then I think it went like 60 feet to the north and then make an intersection. Like I said, he has to entertain that to the District 3 to see how far exactly if they would allow that. But at the same time, you know, we kind of nosed around and he's looking at that easement down along there, thinking that that, you know, might be an option there as well.
But we'd like to go east first, if we can get there.
You know, as far as money standpoint, you know, east would make more. I mean, I think east is going to be more expensive than going west. I think.
Yeah.
I think.
Probably with that highway approach.
The highway approach is going to be killer.
But I'm surprised that, and according to Olson's drawing here, they'll let us, the state would currently let us enter the highway at that point.
Well, he doesn't know that. You know, he has a 60 feet from the previous intersection.
Yeah, okay.
And I told Chad Kurt, I think it's absurd. If that, and it might be possible, but I said I cannot imagine them letting it be 60 feet is all.
Wow. We were led to believe that they have done something, the state has done some things like that. We've got to try.
But in 60 feet, it just seems, if they want a turning lane coming from both directions, I would think. As far as the turning lane, when you're heading south, that goes on population of vehicles.
Right.
That's turning
okay.
to the right, is where that goes. And he couldn't really give me a, you know, what's that amount of vehicles, the number.
Well, that would be a much cleaner deal. We wouldn't have to deal with any landowners. We wouldn't have to go intimate domain. Or
very little landowner. Just the one landowner, that whoever owns the corner.
The corner down there.
Yeah.
The fishing farm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And one thing that we, okay. The people need yeah. to understand, although that the owner, this is not going to be a permanent road, you know, the one we're using all the time. It's just for the...
Well, it's just one of the crossings block.
Well, if you make this road, can you make it that way? I mean, it's going to have to be a county road. I mean, they could use it every day if they wanted to, the way I get it.
Well, I'm sure, yeah.
I mean, because you're going to have to maintain it, you're going to have to push the snow, you're going to have to gravel it, so... why would you anyways? But it'll be open to the public.
The public, okay.
You know?
Okay, that makes sense. You're right.
I would suggest some kind of signage on it, though, to make it an emergency only.
Right.
If we possibly could.
I know that the using the railroad right away and building that road up there is probably going to be the more expensive route, but it's going to be the less offensive route to other landowners, less impact. So that's why I proposed that route.
Well, it looks like
either that or going using the railroad right away and then going along that highway fence and taking it straight north, but then there again you're buying a bunch of property and you know, I don't know if those people will sell it.
Right.
So
it looks like at this point, you know, for the people living there or the residents living there, needs to be patient. You know, we really trying to work as best as we can, and until we hear from those persons, you know, wait and see. But I can agree with Commissioner Busquet, there's no action to be taken today, so
They got to realize that everybody's working on this.
Exactly.
Yep, they're working on it. Like I said, they ain't going to happen overnight.
Everybody's involved.
Yeah.
Commissioners and...
Just for instance, I contacted the railroad, and it took... And they got my message, and they didn't contact me back for 3 or 4 days. Mm-hmm. And then I called them back. And the person that I contact has already resigned from his position, and now there's a new guy coming in. So now I'm back to ground B again, you know, or A, trying to find that contact. So, you know, it's one of those things. They're ever changing. And the guy told me, I'm glad I'm resigning because I'm going back down to where I was. He says, this is crazy.
Well, it's like you say, you know, it could take 2 months, could take 6 months, you know, but hoping we take yours that we can live with it. So, any more comments on that? It's going to be no action taken on this today. So until we hear from those persons, we're going to move to on the agenda item B, approved resolution 15C-022 for membership and participation in Nebraska Community Agency Rally membership and electric car grant, cost of $1,500.
My question is on this here, who's going to run with this grant?
We pay them the $500, they do all the work.
Okay. The membership for the electric car costs us $1,500.
$1,000 to join the Alliance membership. $500 to make application.
Yeah, just the application itself.
And basically, they run with the paperwork then. I think it's a great thing. South Sioux has a couple of them, and the more we look at it with the people around here, they could be using that car.
I know Bill Johnson.
Bill Johnson could be using
Veteran Service Officer.
The health department.
We can generalize the car, you know, there's no doubt about it. And the thing of it is, you know, I've got the grand, we got to take it or leave it. You know, it's the only two ways, so. But I don't know what the board wants to do.
They also want you to fill in the blank there. You have to designate someone who will be active on their Energy Alliance.
Dick McNeil, you're kind of energy efficient.
I don't
even
know more about it. You tell him yes.
You do it, Bill?
Yeah, I'll get Billy.
I'll make a motion to approve Resolution 15C-022 for the Maverick City.
And then to have Bill Rohde be
electrician on it.
And I'll second.
Get him wired up on it. Yeah.
I'll second. Okay.
Motion by Scott Long and Resolution 15C-022 and seconded by Busquet. Mm-hmm. That's right. Call roll, please.
Rick?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Motion carried. Lisa Lyon, Brett Gallup, down on board.
Road report for May 24th through June 6th. Road maintenance hours, 228 and a half. Three overtime hours, tree and debris removal, 11. Aggregate hauled, 3,013 total tons, correct, yes. Sections, inspections of weed complaints, 4.5 hours, weed spraying, 35, barricading, 2.5 hours, 5 barricades. Road concerns, E Avenue, K Avenue, H Avenue, Fiddler Creek, 102nd, 260th, 230th Street. Them all are grading, gravel, E Avenue, K Avenue, H Avenue, Fiddler Creek, Perry Avenue, S Avenue, and Gulf Road.
Questions for Fred?
Mary Watson contacted me. She'd like some gravel on her road that goes to her place. That's by the Central Valley Ag. Mm-hmm. That's there. If you could take care of that for her.
Any questions for Fred?
The only question, the only concern, I just hopefully we get a dry week, right? We get some.
Yes.
No rain until the weekend.
I've got a comment since we're on roads. After our last meeting, I contacted some of the veterans. Dave Rasmussen was here. And I know the roads are bad, and everybody I talked to from the veterans said that, you know, they were bad. We all know that. We had a week of rain. The problem is the people that I talked to seem to believe that Dick comes up with a plan out there and the four of us voted down, and that is not true. We've never done that.
Well, I didn't say that.
Well, that's what I'm hearing. I'm just throwing it out here because, you know, it throws us under the bus.
Like,
we've never, ever voted against. As far as I know, I've missed a couple of meetings here in the last couple of years. As far as I know, we've never voted against anything that you came up with. And I wanted to clear that up because I'd be upset, too, if I heard that.
Yeah.
Anyone that's ever had a road concern in here, if we could possibly do it, we've done it. We've never said that we're not going to fix a road or what have you. So
we try.
Yeah, I'm culverts.
I'm not saying you said, this is what people out there are thinking, and I don't want that to be said because it's not true. So I just wanted to get that cleared up.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. Any more comments? Thank you, Fred. Good report. Under miscellaneous, item B, approved or not approved at the Dakota County crisis leave policy. Okay, guys, now, what do you guys want to do?
It sounds great.
Yeah, but it's what's behind the scenes?
And of course, last week, you know, when I seen this was on the agenda, I talked to the clerk's office, and I talked to Joan and yourself, and, you know, the good point is, you know, the sick leave, you know, versus maybe vacation time, and I'm sure it can be structured however we want to structure it, but is it going to create a lot of animosity behind the scenes that we're not aware of? You know, I mean, us as board members sitting there looking at it, hey, it makes good sense. You know, somebody's in a crisis, you know, financially, you want to donate some time. But what makes sense? Other counties do it.
I checked with three counties, and the counties that do it also 100% pay out their sick pay upon termination.
Oh. Which we do not
or
do that.
The other county, 25%. They pay out 25% of their sick pay upon termination.
So would it be, if we wanted to do some type of a crisis plan, you know, by using, if somebody wanted to donate vacation time, you know?
Yeah.
Is that an option? Just because of the mere fact that our sick pay, you know, isn't paid out. And
yeah, but on sick time, wouldn't you have to go back and vote that in? Go all the way through that again if we're going to give out a sick pay too?
No, we would eliminate the sick pay.
I know, but maybe. Just say you do. This guy's just got 480 hours sick time out here. What I'm trying to say.
You know, I don't know how many times that we've had people that have had a crisis that are in a county, you know, that are working for the county, and is it something that we want, that we need to address? You know, I'm kind of with Scott. I don't know how it's going to work, and with everybody with their sick leave and their comp time and everything like that, and then you get into paying overtime, and this person might be making $22 an hour or whatever, and this person might be paying 18. Yeah. How do you weigh all that out and make that salary right? I just think that it's,
because everybody has their own budget. We kind of talked about their budget situation there, because the money comes out of each.
Could we do about as much good by having maybe we sponsor a benefit of some type for that individual?
Mm-hmm.
Probably better, obviously.
I think part of the biggest concern is people think they're going to lose their job here if they have an extended period and they run out of sick time and things like that. And maybe we could have a policy that they'd hold their job position until
they're okay.
And I appreciate the fact that, you know, the people that brought this to our attention, you know, the jailers, and they had, you know, one of their colleagues were sick, and I can totally appreciate that, but I just...
Then we've got two unions to deal with.
Yeah.
How do you handle the two unions?
Three unions.
Yeah, they all come up at different times, mm-hmm. in contracts, so... I don't think it'd hardly be possible.
It sounds messy. As good as it sounds, and
but it's messy.
It, to me, it does. I don't know, unless somebody can see it differently than what I'm seeing it.
It's tough to see if you're doing or not doing it.
So Kim, any ideas?
I'm just looking at the part where it says the leave policy is always being worked on in Dawson County.
It's always being
what
worked on.
What does that mean? Yeah.
It's always being updated, upgraded. Change to suit everybody.
Well, I'm sure it's probably complicated. Even if you had it wrote up, there's probably, for instance, it always comes up in this situation, I would think. I mean, obviously. Yeah. I like your idea, Billy.
Have a benefit for them, do something like that. Maybe we make have a resolution drawn up that will hold their position until they're well, or don't do that either.
Put that in the handbook.
I don't think we can eliminate them anyways. I don't think we can either.
No.
But if they run out of sick time and...
But we do have to make a resolution for that, don't we?
No. I don't know.
Not today.
No, not today. There's nothing on the agenda.
I know. So what's the board, please?
I'd say we move on. Just let it go. You don't need action if we...
Well, it says approve or not approve.
So, but if we're not going to take any action, so it's just... Do anything?
I would say let's entertain this in another way at another time. But for the time being, if a motion needs to be made, I'm going to make a motion to not approve the crisis leave policy. How does that sound?
Then I'll second it.
So that's your motion. Okay. Moved by Scott, not approved this time. Seconded by Busquets. So call roll, please.
Dick.
Yeah.
Bill.
Yes.
Tony.
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Motion carried. Thank you, guys. Under item C, Sherry, Deputy County Clerk, to present and revise Homer School Bond. The special election report 32-958.
After Ted reported to you guys at the last meeting, our total cost was $3,896.81. We received one more bill in. So it's just been changed to $4,095.81. That's the only change.
How much?
$4,095.81. And we will be submitting a bill for reimbursement from the Homer School District for that.
Do you need action on that?
No.
I just needed to inform
you. We'll make it to the Sioux City General over the weekend. Okay. The elections at Homer. Okay. Thank you, Jerry. With that, Commissioner's Committee Reports.
Yeah.
Sally.
I told it I would. I have good news.
Sally, say your name for the record.
Sally Reiner, President of Keep Northeast Nebraska Beautiful.
Thank you.
Last Thursday, we presented our Leadership Award to Tyson Fresh Meats for their in-house recycling work, which is huge. We got a very nice interview from Channel 9 with John Hammer, which really pleased me because John is literally the moving force behind that, and he doesn't toot his horn nearly enough. Okay, other piece of good news. This is our coordinator, Sharon Burton, and she always has her radar on for grants. And she was able to land for us the Keep America Beautiful Lowe's grant for $20,000 to help Dakota City rebuild their park shelter that was destroyed during the storm last summer. And we were one of only two places in the Midwest to get that. So
nice.
We're really happy.
Very good.
We have a meeting with Lowe's on Wednesday, and I hope this project gets done fast.
Do
you guys talk about slow projects? I hope this one is fast.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The government
will, right?
Whoa.
Thank you,
Sally. Thank you.
Nice job.
Any committee reports?
Joan and I and Rick met with department heads and elected officials on budgets last Monday, Tuesday, and... looks fine. Looks well. I mean, we got to get all of our numbers put together, but it was a kind of a preliminary meeting with everyone. And
so everything went okay, huh?
Yeah, it was pretty.
Okay.
We just got to throw a bunch of numbers together and see if we can get under the lid.
I did put numbers together, and we're $500,000 over.
Over?
Yeah. Got to cut $500,000 to get to the lid.
We need to cut $500,000 to get to the lid? Okay. Okay.
And we discussed that. We discussed that with each of the department heads and asked them where would be less, you know, where we could cut. And we explained to them that we weren't going to do just one department. It's going to be across the board.
And they
to get us
understand,
there.
Right? Looks like.
Hope so.
Yeah. Any more committee reports?
You know, the only problem is with that, there's a lot of those lean budgets that they're pretty cut and dry.
Right.
And obviously, you got the jail, you got the road department, right. Sheriff's department, you got three huge, you know, I mean, you got the three bigger budgets, you know, you got to do what you can, and you don't want to go backwards.
Right.
You know, and backwards, not buying cop vehicles or the police vehicles at one time.
Maybe we'll find some revenue.
maybe we'll find some revenue. You know,
I mean, you just 6.5% of the guest tax increase.
Well, if we stick around for 5 years, we might see maybe an improvement there, right?
Good, good, guys. Any more committee reports? If it is, and as a chair, I would like to take and appoint, I'm going to move Rick Busquet from Area Agency and Aging Governing Board. Because lack of time, you know, he's really busy, and which all of us are. But I mean, you know, he indicated that he wanted to get off this board, and I've been in touch with Mr. McNair, and he's willing to take the position. So I would like to take Rick off the board, and Dick, are you willing to take this part of the committee? It meets once a month, right? Right, Rick?
Mm-hmm. And they send you a card.
They send you a card, so you can.
And then they send you a packet prior to the meeting.
It's always in North Fork, right?
It's always in North Fork, yeah.
Okay. So you're willing to do
every
that?
Other month, and it's North Platte every third month.
And you're going to that.
So you okay with that, Nick?
Yeah, I'll take it. Yes, I will. June 18th, that's when I got to go. Okay.
Appreciate it. Thank you, guys. Thank you. With that, not any more committee reports? Okay, Melon emergency business. None.
Can I back up real quick to the committee report real quick?
Right.
I know Joan and Rick and I have been working on some of the outdoor remodeling and whatever, landscaping. And we did get our mulch ordered, correct? We got the rubber mulch. As you can see, some of the landscaping that we did, we got rid of all the rock and we're getting some different shrubs. And then we did that continuous curbing around the side and the front.
And we got a grant.
DEQ.
I found a grant
for the mulch.
Give it to Joan, and we got the mulch.
Good.
So
excellent.
So yeah. So the outside should be, and then if we can humanly budget it, we'd like to maybe do some other things as well.
Keep Nebraska beautiful, right, Ellie?
Keep Dakota County Courthouse beautiful.
Thank you, Scott. Thank you for all you're doing. Thank you, guys. With that, public comments. Anybody from the public?
Yes, I do.
Okay, can you come at that podium and state your name for the record, please?
Bill Wiseman, 2515 Kennesaw Road. Okay. How many miles of county road we got in this county?
500? 380. 380 roughly.
380.
Gravel. 20 hard surface. 400. Yeah.
And you got five commissioners?
Yes.
If you divided that up into areas, you'd have 80 miles apiece to police. We need to get a better handle on our roads. I mean, it isn't getting transferred from the maintainer operators to the truck drivers where they're supposed to put the rock and that, or when. I think you need to ride those roads every time you have a half inch rain. Now, I'm going to go back to Memorial Day. I got a 3/4 ton pickup. And I had to go in four-wheel drive to even get into town. And when we left Taylor Cemetery, we went to Hale. And when you leave Hale, you go over to Green Valley. And normally, normal route is take that minimum maintenance off Fiddle Creek Road over to Wagon Creek. It's a straight shot. Rain, no. Second alternative route, you go Kennesaw Road. There's no way anybody was going on Kennesaw Road that day. Third choice, I'll go out to M Avenue and up and go up the little hill and go right down that way. Fortunately, everybody had a four-wheel drive vehicle. Otherwise, you wouldn't have made it up there. Now, the other choice, you can always run back to Homer and go all the way around in that. But you people need to remember, we've got six ceremonies to run. Each ceremony is 10 to 12 minutes long. That leaves you 18 minutes to get to the next cemetery. Every half hour, we do the cemetery. And we've got six stops on the route. And even now, they've been out and they've dumped gravel twice. Neither time have they hit where the mud was. They've fallen short. They don't go up the hills and come over the top. Stoner's Corner is a tremendously bad corner. It's an S-turn going uphill. Well, coming into town, you just lock in the hubs and throw it in low gear and go on down and around. Going back is another story. And we still got ruts out on that road right now from the last time it rained. I mean, you shouldn't have mud on a county road even when it rains. You should be riding on gravel, not on mud. And that's what that road is mainly, and Fiddler Creek Road isn't much better, although it is solid. The other thing I got on Fiddler Creek Road is, why do they lower their blade down when they come to a mailbox? 2 years ago when we had the ice storm, I actually came to a stop in front of my mailbox and slid over into the mailbox. Now, I go down there every year and I build it up around the mailbox so it's halfway level. And there's no drainage problem around there, but yet it's always dug up. And right now it's the same way. I don't know what the answer is. Fred can't do it all by himself. But we do need to get a handle on this, these roads, these county roads. I take the truck over to get it washed. I got to give him an extra $5 just to wash the mud and that out from up in the frame and everything.
Bill, I don't know what protocol is, but I know the guy that maintains in our district where I'm at, Brent Byro, he's a blade operator. If he wants rock in a certain place, he'll put a flag where he wants us to start and stop. Truck driver comes along, he knows where he needs gravel between those two flags.
And yeah, that's what you see them all the time, but there's no flags on Kennesaw.
I guarantee you there aren't. An operator would be a simple thing to do, just put flags out.
Well, that's what I thought, that they should fill out a report or something or flag it. I didn't realize they're the ones to put the flags out.
Yeah, Dick Byro does.
Dick and I had this conversation this morning that we, you know, as a blade operator, obviously, they're the eyes.
Yes, they are who is supposed to report to Fred. Fred can't get out there on all these roads by himself and
Nobody can.
Have to have better communications with him and better service to the
people. That's what Dick and I were talking about, getting out there this week. And when the guys start in the morning, we were going to, you know, get with Fred and then make sure that they're – we got to be on the same page. You know, your area, if there's a road that needs – some special attention, if it's gravel or you know, whatever, the road needs shaped up or they're going to be spending more time there, they need to consult with Fred or Noel and then get some rock or whatever.
Well, I was real happy. This is the first time since 76 that I've been out there. I've seen them come out and try to get the drainage alongside the road. They've done a real good job on that. But unfortunately, all that dirt's up on the county road. And now it's just a slushy, like I said, you have four-wheel drive.
Slick.
It's not slick, it's deep. You know, you get 6 to 8 inch ruts in places out there.
Well, I called Scott today, and I told him, let's go have a meeting over there and talk to all the guys, and have them, just like he said, if there's a bad spot, put it down on your worksheet. When you turn your worksheet in, they'll know where it's at.
Radioed in.
Tell them right then so they'll know, because we're going to go over and talk to them.
There is the other thing, the communications between the blade operators and the truck drivers. That's why I think the flag bit's so good. At least they know where to put it. You tell them, well, out on Stoner's Hill, down the other north of his house, and that.
Yeah. Okay.
So, but that's all I have. I think Fred's doing a good job, but he's got to have some more help. He can't do it all himself. Neither the blade operators, you guys have a meeting with them, they are the ones that have got to mark these spots and let people know about it.
You know, and it's really easy for us as part-time, and we try to all be active, but just assume that that's all being done.
Yeah.
It's easy to do.
Yeah.
It's easy to do.
Now, anytime blade operator goes over a road and he has to fill in ruts, well, they got a problem there. He needs to flag it and get some rock on it or something.
Can you get with Fred and the operators, Scott, and visit with us?
That was our intent this week.
You know what I mean?
So, yeah, we will.
And Dick himself. So, well,
thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you. Well, hopefully, we'll make things better, okay?
Yeah. I hope so.
Thank you. Further comments? Any more from the public to make a comment?
Larry, come on down. You're the next contestant. You have anything to say?
I haven't talked to my attorney yet.
You're an old cuss, aren't you?
Well, if it is.
I didn't go to Harvard either, so I'm not trying to help myself.
But if anybody, meeting adjourned.